We've just been so blessed to learn to know you all and to fellowship with you all and to see God at work. And I just do also, as Chap said this morning, appreciate the emphasis on the Word of God in the church. So it's made it just a blessing to be able to share about inductive Bible study, and we trust you'll continue to do that. But they gave me even a harder assignment this morning. I met with Chap and Steve over lunch way back in the autumn, I guess it was, and they said, we'd like you to maybe do the each one, reach one, each one, teach one thing with the FIA group. So we've been doing that for this. Tonight's the fourth month doing that. But then I think they both sort of looked at this inductive Bible study thing, and then also another thing called, let me see if I can get this going here. It's a wisdom journal. A wisdom journal. A lot of us do journaling. Maybe, how many of you do keep a journal or a diary? Anybody here? A couple of you do. I used to do that when we were missionaries in Austria years and years ago, long before we joined New Tribes Mission. But I found very quickly after a year or so that some of the things that God was teaching me and I was writing down and scripture that I was putting along with certain days, I couldn't recall later on. So this wisdom journal developed in my own life, and then it became something that I began to teach. And the hard assignment here this morning is that it just seems to be, it's part of a huge discipleship course. And it's really never meant to be done in a, or even introduced in a group like this. This is the first time I've introduced this to a church-wide sort of situation. It's usually found in a school of discipleship, maybe with 15, 20 growing disciples. But more so in my own life and ministry, it's been found in working one-on-one with somebody, just one-on-one. And using this as a tool, this wisdom journal as a tool, not only to grow myself, but also to help those that I'm discipling to grow. Grace has been the theme here this morning. Grace. I'm going to add my sort of bit to the definition here. Grace. You know, we have these little things. There's a little acronym. Grace, G-R-A-C-E. God's riches at Christ's expense. Maybe you heard that. But you know, I believe based on Philippians 1, 2, that grace is God's unmerited favor. It's his unmerited favor and gift whereby he gives us the desire and the power to do his will, to be what he wants us to be. And I'm going to go even further to say that Jesus Christ is grace personified in person. You know, Paul, many times in his epistles, used to write, he sort of end his epistle or begin his epistles with grace and peace be unto you. Grace and peace. And he also, in 1 Peter, I believe it says, he said that we should grow in what? In the grace and the knowledge of Jesus Christ. That all things that pertain unto life and godliness are ours through the knowledge, just not knowing about Jesus Christ, but knowing him. Not only experiencing his grace, but receiving him as grace personified in my life. Jesus Christ is the grace in me. He is everything, as we sang. He is my life. Do we believe that? It's really true. So this wisdom journal is just a tool. We're going to be introducing it and going into a lot of detail. We got some extensive notes for you here this morning. For each Sunday school participant, we had that big thing with the inductive. This is, I couldn't even get it all in here. We just sort of introductory thing there. But we're going to introduce that tool that you could use in your own life to grow in the grace and in the knowledge of God and Jesus Christ, his Son. That's the tool that it is. And I've always asked myself, as we've been trying to grow ourselves in the Christian life and how to help others grow in discipleship and ministry, how does this crazy Christian life work? How does it work? What really makes it function? How do I grow? In love or in holiness, in patience? And this wisdom journal is just a tool to help us to understand that. And we'll get into that. We'll get into this later on. As I said, it's all part of a sort of a disciple course called Foundations. I introduced this a little bit to you last time. Foundation is really and truly a 9 to 18 month course, and it involves so many things, and it's really just also used with one-on-one discipleship involving a lot of things. We're going to be talking about this in Faya again this evening, about the content. We've been talking about going and make disciples. Well, how do we do that? What do we teach? If we're to teach them everything that he's commanded us, and as Paul said to Timothy, the things that you have heard of me among many witnesses, Timothy, you teach them to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. What are those things? And so this course is all part of that. And we have this diagram. I don't think any of you will be able to see that way in the back there. But this is sort of developed over the years through working with people one-on-one. And I believe, to me, it just sort of describes the Christian life and how it works. Now, as any diagram, it's not exhaustive. It's not complete, because you can only get so much on a graphic. I liked our sister's graphics, these nice new posters you have there. They're very, very concise and very, very clean. We get the message, don't we? They're right there. I'm just a little bit more complicated, maybe, than that sort of thing. But this thing has helped me, and when I'm working with someone one-on-one, I just sort of work through this diagram. And you're going to get a copy of that in Sunday school this morning. There's so much more to it. And we'll talk a little bit more about it. But this is how I believe the Christian life works, that it's all about the glory of God. We talked about that last time. It's all about growing in the grace and knowledge of him, knowing who God is, knowing who we are apart from him, knowing that we are nothing, we can do nothing apart from him. We're lost, we have no hope, we're helpless. Knowing who the enemy is. God introduces the enemy very early in the Word of God, doesn't he? He's right there. And he tells us some background about this. That he tried to steal God's glory, that God wanted to manifest his glory. And he tried to steal that glory and rebelled and wanted some of that glory for himself. And there's so much we learn. And you wonder, well, I don't know if I shared this last time, but why so much about the enemy and darkness in Scripture? John Piper, in his book Seeing and Savoring Jesus Christ, he talks about how that if we really want to see the multifaceted beauty of a gemstone, the jeweler, he doesn't display it on a piece of white paper or whatever, a white background. What does he do? He puts it on a black background, doesn't he? And I believe that's why God allows evil in the world. He's allowed Satan to do what he's done by his grace, really, so that we would see, that we could see the contrast and therefore realize how great and glorious the God of light really is. In contrast to the darkness, that condemned one, that one that is already defeated, that defeated enemy. And then, of course, Jesus Christ, God in the flesh. And to know this, to grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord in these things, in these foundational truths, these essential foundations, I like to call them. There's another level of discipleship here, this level that we have to come to understand and grow in an understanding of. And that is, that when we trusted Jesus Christ, something glorious happened. Some theologians have sort of counted it all up, that 30-some different things happened to us the very moment we placed our trust in Jesus Christ, that very second. We didn't feel one of them. And it's really positional truths that take place. And you hear that in the church here and in the teaching of the Word all the time. But in discipling, you really need to concentrate on it and outline it. And through this wisdom journal, you can learn this and really concentrate on these things and search out all the scriptures about who we are in Christ. Then a little play on words here. We have this reality that we need to grow in an understanding of is that Christ is not only us in Christ, placed in there, baptized into Christ, spiritual baptism, into Christ, into his body, but that he is in us. The moment we were saved, the moment we trusted Christ, the very moment Jesus Christ came, God in all his fullness came to live in us. And this is a reality. This is what makes this Christian life work. You know, it's not God just sort of giving us patience or giving us joy. It's his patience. It's his joy. It's his life in us, his character in us. When he calls us to be holy, He gives us a position. He says, you are holy in Christ and blameless, positionally. Might not feel that way, but you know what? He says you are. You study that in Ephesians again and again. And he also says what? He says, I've given you my Holy Spirit, the Spirit of holiness. And that's what really makes it work, as his life is worked out in us. Work out your own salvation. Never understood that as a young Christian. Work out your own salvation. What do you mean? Works? No, it's not about works. It's just working out what's already there. You've heard practice what you preach. No, it's practice what you already are. Practice what you already are. John MacArthur has a great section. I use it in the discipleship materials of practicing our position, just becoming in practice what we already are in position. We already are holy and blameless in Christ. We just need to live that way. We already have new life in Christ, His life. We need to live out that life. And you know, in all these things, He gets the glory. He gets the glory for all this. And then it's not just, is anybody see this back there? Good. It's not just Christ's life in me. It's Christ's work through me. We often think, oh, well, I get saved, and the Lord, you know, I'm going to work for the Lord now. No. No. It's Him wanting to do His work, not only live His life in me, but to do His work through us. And He does that through these four pillars: the Word, prayer, fellowship, and witness. And it also happens through another little thing there. You got your nice little posters there. I like that. I've always used knowing, growing, going, and sowing. Sort of connects a little bit with yours. And you'll see that at the top there, knowing the spiritual life cycle. That's another whole set of Bible studies. But it's all about, you know, who God is. And all of it is founded upon this down here, the glory of God. Now, he said drop dead time is 11 o'clock. So we got a huge assignment here. This is I'm just going to talk real briefly about the purpose of the Word of God. The purpose of the Word of God. And the power of the Word of God, and then in the Sunday school class, we'll get into the practical part, okay? The practical use of the Word of God to accomplish the purpose and to demonstrate the power and to see that power working in our lives. The purpose of the Word of God is why, and we were talking about this last time, just going to move through this. He just wants us to see how glorious a God He is. That's why He gave us the book. That's why He gave us a book last time, I think. Preaching different places, I can't remember what I exactly preached here, but that the biggest mistake we make is trying to think that we are the main character of this book. That it's all about us, and that God gave us this book for us. He gave us this book for us in that He wants to reveal His glory to us. So He tells us all about Himself there through His glorious history, the history of God, the story of God, the story of His glory. Every one of those Bible stories, I hope you see them in a new light. You realize it, you know, you look through that, all that Old Testament, you think, whoa, you know, what's going on there? You know, every one of those things is pointing to the glory of God and one of His attributes, His glorious attributes and who He really is, so that we will grow in the knowledge of Him and understand who He really is. In order to get to know, we'll talk about this more in Sunday school, but in order to, we have this command in Scripture: be holy, for I am holy, Jesus said. Okay, how does that happen? First of all, you need to get to know that God's purpose, back to the diagram if you can remember there, God's purpose is His own glory, and that glory is accomplished as His holiness is seen. And so what does He do? He saves us. He sets us apart, makes us holy positionally, and then He gives us the Holy Spirit again, as we said. And then He wants us to obey that command. The only way you can obey it is allow Him to His holiness to shine forth in our own lives. And then guess what? As we do, all of a sudden realize, as we grow through the Word and study holiness in the Word, study, see the Holy God there, guess what happens? After a while, we begin to realize something's happening in my life. There's something happening more apart. I'm sensing His holiness being manifested in my life. It's not mine. It's not mine at all. Who gets the glory in all this then when it's His holiness in me? He does. But if I'm trying to conjure up holiness, guess what? Holier than thou. What's wrong with all of you guys? You know, that's sad. That's sad. This is just how the Christian life works. And He wants us to see that. He wants us to realize that He's a glorious God. We had these up here last time. And that He is infinitely glorious. We cannot put Him in a box. He is above and beyond our wildest dreams and imaginations as a God. We cannot put him in the box. And that's where we saw here last time that for by him were all things created. That's you and I as well, that are in heaven, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for his glory. Life is all about him. It's all about his glory. That's where it's all headed. That's why we breathe. That's why we exist. That's why we worship here. That's why he's actually done this and demonstrated his greatness and glory as he created the heavens declare the glory of God. And as we saw last time, that's why the universe exists. It's all about his glory. He's made it so big. It was made to show that glory. And we were made to see and savor that glory, to look up there and think, whoa, this big billboard up there every night and during the day saying God is big, really, really big. Bigger than you can imagine. And here we are in this little tiny speck of a galaxy called the Milky Way galaxy in all those billions of galaxies. And here we are on this little tiny speck of a solar system and our sun with the planets going around, on this little tiny speck of an earth in this absolutely unfathomably and vastly immeasurable universe. Why? So that we have to say, wow, this is a big God. And fear him. Reverentially respect him for who he really is. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, beginning of wisdom. So, you know, the problem is though in life is we've exchanged these things. This world is so disordered and so dysfunctional because we've made it about us. We try to write ourselves in as the main character of the Bible. We've exchanged the glory of God for other lesser things, John Piper says. That's why we're so messed up. We place other things before God. He indeed is a God who says, I am the Lord. That is my name. And my glory I will give to no other. That's why he called himself, we'll look at it a little bit later on. That's why he gave Moses that wonderful name for himself, I am. Did we talk about that last time? I am. I am. That's God's name. I am. And you know what? The way to really start growing in your Christian life is to realize what your name is as opposed to his name. Do you know what our name is? Louis Giglio from the Passion Conferences, one of Andy Stanley's cohorts down in Atlanta, he wrote a book called I Am Not, But I Know I Am. That really got my attention. I got it on my iPod and everything, listen to it all the time. Tremendous little book. Get it. I am not, that's my name, I am not. I am not God. I am not sufficient to save myself. I'm not God, but God says, I am. I am. That's my name. I am. I'm not sufficient to save myself. God says, say it with me, I am. I can't make this, I can't live this Christian life. I'm not able to live this Christian life. And God says, I am. I am. I'm not able to be holy. He says, I am. I'm not able to make this marriage work. I'm not able. Who is able to make my marriage work? It's a mess. God says, what? I am. It's my name. I am. How am I going to raise these children? I'm not able to do this. I'm not sufficient to do this. I'm not sufficient for anything. And God says, say it with me, louder, I am. I am not. But we know I am. Listen, young folks, older folks, we've got to get that. That's one of the biggest lessons in all the world, in all of life. You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you have created all things, and for your pleasure they are and were created. Even every one that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory. I have formed him, yea, I have made him. Blessed be the Lord God, the God of Israel, who only does wondrous things, and blessed be his glorious name. And this is the mission's thing, go, the reason for going. Let a whole earth be filled with his glory. That's where it's all headed. Are we going to be part of that? part of that wonderful story. Each one of us has a story. Our life is like a story. And we get the thing, and we don't think realize that our name is I Am Not. And so we just begin to think we're really something. And these movie stars and these guys, these celebrities, really think they're really something. Think they have a really big story, and oh, look at me, and everything. You know what a big part of salvation is? Is to realize that I just have a little story, and to exchange my little story, trying to make something of my story, and exchange it for a part, a supporting role in God's story, the story of His glory. Think of your life that way. I just have a little part in this awesome story of redemption and glory. That's what I've given to the Lord, you families of the people. Given to the Lord the glory and strength. Given to the Lord the glory due unto His name. We were made for this. He says, bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth. This is why we go. Whom I've created for my glory, says the Lord. So salvation, the Christian life, the word of God is given so that we might see the glory of God, savor the glory of God, show forth that glory as Christ is living in us, and then share that glory with others. And someday, to play on the word with the word share, we're going to share His glory in eternity and see that glory forever and ever. He says, I will those that you've given me, Father, John 17, as Jesus prayed to His Father, I will that those that you've given me be with me that they may behold my glory. That's eternity. That's what we're going to be doing. And we'll never be finished. Doesn't that blow your mind? We'll never be finished knowing the depths, the unsearchable depths of the glory of God and the love of God. To see that glory, He's created those heavens for that. Let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man glory in his might. Nor let the rich man glory in his riches. We glory in so many other things, lesser things. But let him that glory in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord. We got to get that straight. It's all about the glory. He wants us not only to see the glory, he wants us to savor the glory, John Piper says. The light of the gospel, the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. And that's why Christ came. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father. The law came by Moses, but what came by Christ? Grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Grace and truth. And this is how it works. I think I finished with this last time. I hope I don't have to finish. I got 5 minutes here yet. No, 10 minutes till drop dead time. So, but we all. Oh, okay. But we all. This is how the Christian life works. I think I finished this story there at Providence Rescue Mission of these guys that kept falling back into the world and everything. God gave me this verse on the way home. I was so discouraged. I said, Lord, what's going to change these men? What's changing? What will change me? And here it was. But we all with unveiled face. It's from that story where Moses went up there on the Sinai in the mount and face to face with God, and he came back and his face was radiant. Remember that? His face was radiant and he veiled his face so they wouldn't see the passing glory that radiance was going to fade. Okay? And all so much going on in that chapter there in 2 Corinthians 3 of the law. Law and grace. The law was given by God. But the law tells us what to do, but doesn't give us the power to do it. Therefore, grace came by Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is grace, so that He can come and live this life through us and fulfill the law in us. A lot to think about there. And this is what happened. Look what he ends that chapter with verse 18. He says, but we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror, James talks about the mirror of the word, you know, the mirror, beholding as in a glass or a mirror, the glory of the Lord, beholding the glory, seeing the glory, are being transformed. That's how it happens. That's how we change. That's how that holiness comes. That's how that patience, that love, that joy, that long-suffering, that self-control comes, by beholding Him, the God of holiness, the God of love, the God who gives us joy. And we're changed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. He does it through His Holy Spirit living in us. So, why does He give us the Word of God, the purpose of the Word of God? That we might see His glory. That's why you open your Bible, have quiet time. That's why we study it and read it with our family. That's why we hear it preached here in this church so faithfully, so that we might see God for who he is in all his glory and be changed. Be changed into that same likeness, that image that was lost in the garden. And you know what? I'm asking you this morning, have you seen the glory? Have you seen the glory? Or is the word of God just sort of, I'm just having my quiet time, I doing my daily devotions and everything. I come to church and I listen to the word of God, very, 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 trying to be a good, faithful Christian and everything. So many people come and hear, open the book, and don't see the glory. The glory. Don't see that he is everything, that he is our life. That's glory. Don't see their position in Christ. That's part of the good news. They don't see that Christ is actually living in us. That's great news, isn't it? It's not only that Christ died for my sin, Christ lives in me. The saving life of Christ. Paul talks about in Romans, have you seen the glory? If you don't see the, have you seen the glory is the big question here. Isaiah saw the glory. Isaiah saw it. We could talk about it. He saw the glory, and what did he do? He said, woe is me. He saw his sinfulness. When we see the glory of God and see God for who he is, we realize. That's probably why so many people aren't responding to the gospel nowadays, because we're just telling them words. They're not seeing the glory of God in us. They're not seeing us and saying, what is it about you? There's something about you. They don't know it's glory, do they? His glory. Yeah, they realize then they're sinful. They'll see the change in your life. Ezekiel saw the glory. Oh, this is a whole message in itself. Ezekiel saw the glory. Whoa, that's a glory book, Ezekiel. Paul saw the glory. There in Acts chapter 9 on the road to Damascus. What was his response? Lord, what will you have me to do? What will you have me to do? When you see the glory, there's no problem with doing what God wants you to do, because you're going to respond just as Paul. When you really see him and you'll know, oh, Lord, what do you want me to do in this marriage or with these children, with this person I have so much trouble getting along with or whatever. John saw the glory. John saw the glory there in Revelation chapter 1. When I saw him, what did he do? There's real worship, isn't there? I fell at my feet. I fell at his feet. It's dead. And realize there's nothing I can do. I am not, but I can know I am. I can know I am. So the big question is, have you seen the glory? Don't miss it. Don't miss it. When you open the book, ask God, as Moses did, show me your glory, Lord. Let me see your glory in this story or that event, in this book, in that teaching, this epistle, that letter. Let me see your glory. Don't miss it. I was here, this book, How Do People Change? What's it called? How People Change. I had a seminar just down the road here a year or so ago, How People Change. That's a tremendous book. That's also answering the question, how do people change? Well, I'm thinking they change as they see the glory. Because if we miss the glory, we replace it, this book says, with formalism. Going through the motions and formality of church and doing the Christian life. If we miss the glory, we reduce the Christian life to legalism. We have all that kinds of those kind of Christians as well. A set of rules and traditions, doing all the right things and thinking we're all right. Think we're doing okay. We don't see our failures and everything. We reduce it to legalism. If we miss the glory, we really turn the Christian life many, many times into mysticism. We make me feel good. Seeking after emotional highs. It's all about me and how I feel victorious and I feel great. If we miss the glory, that's what's going to happen. If we miss the glory, we're going to substitute the glory with, and hey, listen, biblicism? I didn't like that when I read that in the book. Biblicism? Well, that's a good Bible teaching? No. The big problem is we think that knowing a lot about the Bible is maturity. No. And we get into Bible study, and it becomes an end in itself. We know a church that just, they do exposition in Sunday school, one book. They do exposition in the church service, then in evening service on Wednesday night. Four different books they're going through all the time. And it's so easy to make Bible study and Bible teaching an end in itself. And become hearers and just, oh, very interesting stuff. Oh, we learned this and that, but not apply it, not see it happen. And change our lives, not doers of the word, as James says. We can do that. If we miss the glory, we satisfy ourselves with activism. You know, keeping ourselves very busy serving the Martha syndrome, I like to call it. You know, no time to truly reflect on our greatest need and His greatest glory. And we resort, if we miss the glory, we resort to a gospel of self-esteem. You know, convinced that it is all about me. Thinking that it is Jesus' job to meet my needs. Seeking only personal fulfillment. Don't miss the glory, dear friends. We can make relationships the center of our lives. And a lot of, you know, community, church community is wonderful. But don't substitute it for the glory of God. Seeking only friends who will love us and accept us and be there to meet our needs. These are good things. But, you know, it becomes a me-centered worldview. That the church is here for me. That God is here for me. That's not it. We've missed it. We've missed the whole purpose and the glory. So the purpose, honestly, the purpose is that we might see the glory, we might show, we might savor that glory, taste and see that the Lord, He is good, and then to show that glory, that we should be to the praise of His glory, Paul says in Ephesians. That's why He saved us. Christ in you, the very hope of glory, God's glory. It's His glory shining from within our lives and out into the world. We have this treasure, Paul says, in this treasure, what treasure? That glory, the glory of God, the very presence of God in our lives. In earthen vessels, these earthen cracked pots. Remember that, the cracked pots? That lady was running around talking about the cracked pots. God uses cracked pots. I don't know if you saw that. Never mind if you didn't. But I liked her point where she said He lets these cracks in our lives, these weaknesses, these infirmities in our lives, so that the glory will shine through the cracks. In the earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power might be of God and not of us. Therefore, Paul says, very big statement here, whether you therefore you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. And finally, he wants us to share the glory of God. I understand now why Paul, if you understand just this glorious gospel, the glorious God, the glorious reality of our position in Christ, the glory of His presence in us and Him wanting to work through us, I can understand why Paul says, woe is me if I don't preach this good news. Not only the good news of the gospel, but the good news that we have. To see who God really is in all His greatness and glory. In all His greatness. And just see all these attributes. And we're going to see one of the purposes of this life notebook, this wisdom journal, to gather the truth of God about all these things of who God is, His glorious greatness and power. To realize anew and afresh the glorious message and good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, our glorious Savior. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound. The big problem with Christians is we just don't realize how amazing grace really is. Grace. I love this theme here today. Did it right. Thank you so much. Set the scene here. It's all about grace. Grace. An all-sufficient Savior. Friend of sinners. Able to save to the uttermost. Glory, huh? Glory. And you know, that you and I, glorious reality, the glorious privilege and responsibility that we are in Christ, that glorious position, crucified, buried, and risen with Christ, redeemed and regenerated. There's so much scripture about these things. We reconciled to God, forgiven of all our sins, as we gather scripture in those things in our wisdom journal and see God's wisdom, see all that, we begin to realize and glory in all this wonderful reality of the position that we have in Christ. And then that reality of Christ in us, the hope of glory, of the glory of His indwelling, that glorious provision and power that's ours to live this Christian life. His joy, His peace. You know, it's not, God, give me joy, or God, give me peace. No, we say, Lord, Your peace, Your joy, Your righteousness, Your control, because You're in me. And who gets the glory for that? He does. He does. And then finally, the glorious task and responsibility to preach the gospel to every creature, knowing that every person is significant and will spend eternity either in heaven or hell. The glorious privilege and opportunity of making disciples, not only being a disciple and a learner, learning more through this tool, the wisdom journal, journaling the truth of God that He teaches us, but also using that then as a tool to be in that awesome blessing of having a part in what God is doing in another person's life, going and making disciples. That in the name of Jesus, every knee would bow. Things in heaven, things on earth, and things under the earth. That every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. Well, we'll get to the power afterwards. It's drop dead time. It's drop dead time. Come to Sunday school. Get your cup of coffee and your donut and come back. Can they come back with that in here? No, you got to drink it downstairs. Let's pray. Let's pray. Our Father, we pray that this meager effort here, just so rushed effort, Lord, just to explain, help us to grasp, Lord, the realities of this Christian life and how it really works. How you make it work, because the Christian life is really you living your life in us. Just as it was impossible for us to save ourselves, Lord, it's impossible for us to live the Christian life. Lord, it's when we realize that we couldn't save ourselves that you, in Christ and that cross, did that finished work on Calvary for our sins. When we realize that we couldn't do it, and that he did it all, that only full and acceptable sacrifice for sin, that we were saved. That's when we were saved. Lord, help us to understand. It's the same way with the Christian life. We can't live it. When we realize that we can't, we live your life in us, and we glory in all that you are, and we grow in the grace and knowledge of yourself. It's not only growing in the knowledge of yourself to know more about you, but it's knowing you experientially in our lives, manifesting yourself, showing forth all your glory in and through our lives, being conformed to the image of Jesus Christ, to your honor and your glory. Thank you that your name is I Am. We certainly see that our name is I Am Not. We glory in who you are and what you've done. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay.